It says, arise and go up to Bethel. Now, Bethel is this place, you know, where Jacob had promised God that he would establish, you know, a place of worship for him. He says, dwell there, which means like settle there, live there, stay there. Do not move from that place. This is what you're going to do. This is the command. Go, stay there, make your home that place. And that place is the house of God of where I am at. It's pretty much the command. He says, make the altar to God that appeared to you the day you fled from the face of Esau. In other words, build an altar to God. The God that's been with you this entire time, the God that's been with you when you were a deceiver, when you were a liar and a con artist, when you were disobedient, this is the same God that you are building an altar for. And this is pretty amazing to me. I mean, this text, this whole weekend, I've been kind of going through it and just God really spoke to me, you know, because I mean, we're basically being told by God the same thing, saying, come back to me. He tells us that every day. Not only the people who are out in the world and don't know God, but the people who are in the church. Sometimes we are in here and just the cruise control and the routine gets us. And God is saying, come back to me. Come back to Bethel. Sometimes we just, like Jacob, we do things our own way. And God is calling us. And it's just amazing, the text, how God is, I feel like he's telling me the same thing. You know, and if he's telling you the same thing, it's just, you're going to be able to see so many things in this text. I'm just so amazed by the text. But sometimes it's hard for us to understand who God really is. You know, sometimes I feel like we have a bad perception of who God is. Sometimes we don't really get close to him because maybe of insecurities or things like that. Here, Jacob, you know, regardless of the reasons that he has for not following God or not obeying God to go to Bethel, God still comes and calls him. Regardless of the bad things that he's done, God comes and he still waits for him. God is saying, hurry, come back to me. Stay here and build an altar. Sometimes I feel like we try to build an altar by just coming to church. And this is what God spoke to me in my own life. Like, sometimes I think my altar is church. Coming to church and just worshiping God, a couple songs, we hear the preaching, everything's great. And then we go home. But we don't have that altar at home. And when I see God telling Jacob, your home and your altar should be in the same place. Yes, you can have an altar over here, but it's not where I called you to have the altar. And I feel like sometimes it happens to us, you know, and what ends up happening is that there's reasons why we don't have an altar in our home. Sometimes we just rather watch Netflix than do a daily devotional. Or sometimes we just rather, I don't know, play video games or play FIFA 19 or, you know, we rather do some other things sometimes. And we don't build an altar at home. Sometimes we end up believing that church is where we worship God. And we fail to understand that it's in our entire life. The beautiful part is that I understand this as a message of love and grace, not as a message of guilt. Because yes, Jacob has been messed up, but God's grace shows up. And it's the same thing for us. God's grace shows up and says, it's never too late to come back. Come back to Bethel. Romans 12:2 says, Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. God is saying, come back to Bethel, the only place where transformation happens, the only place where you can get the guidance for your kids. He didn't know how to guide his kids. The only place where you can get wisdom, strength for those hard times in life. Come back to Bethel. This is where the transformation will happen. God is calling us to make our homes a place where not only we live, but we spend time with him. Verse number 2 says, and Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, put away the foreign gods that are amongst you, and purify yourselves and change your garments. Then let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make an altar there to God, who answered me in the day of my distress and has been with me in the way which I have gone. So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods which were in their hands and the earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the terebinth tree. I think I said that right. Which was by Shechem. So the first point was, just like Jacob, we are called to have regard for God's word. Second point is going to be, just like Jacob, we are called to repent. So up to this point, Jacob has allowed his family to accumulate idols. You know, that's not counting the idols that, you know, his wife Rachel stole from Laban. I don't know if you guys remember that she stole some, and then he came to try to find them, and she was like, "No, I don't have anything," and she ended up hiding them. And so, without counting those, you know, he's allowed, you know, his family to just accumulate a bunch of idols and just false gods. And then we also know from the last chapter that when he killed a bunch of, or all the men from Shechem, he took the women and the children. And we imagine they brought all their possessions with them. So when they bring their possessions with them, we can just imagine that they're bringing a bunch of idols also, right? They just have all these idols and all these things, you know, that they have with them. And he's basically calling them out, and he's saying, we need to repent. It's really interesting, and one of the things that caught my attention a lot is that right now we're seeing Jacob, you know, start taking a little bit of leadership, something that he hasn't had before. You know, he wasn't a great leader to his family. He really wasn't guiding them. When his daughter got raped, he didn't really know what to do. He just kind of sat there and waited for his sons. And they ended up kind of showing some type of leadership, if that's what we can call it. But he wasn't being a great leader, you know. But before they head back to Bethel, you know, he starts telling them that they have to do a couple of things. And these things are, put away the foreign gods, purify yourselves, and change your garments. Put away the foreign gods, purify yourselves, and change your garments. We can see here how Jacob all of a sudden just seems to understand who God is. God is not the one who's telling Jacob, do these things. He's just telling him, come back to Bethel. He's not telling him, clean yourself. He's not telling him, get rid of your gods. Like, he's just saying, come back to Bethel. But we see him starting to take leadership. He starts saying, wait, if I'm going back, I need to get rid of these things. And he starts understanding, you know. He understands that these gods, these false gods, and the place where he's going, which is the house of the real God, cannot be in the same place. He's saying, put away foreign gods. Jacob realizes the importance of being in the house of God without any kind of interruptions, anything that will keep you away from God. I feel like in our lives, we have a lot of these things, you know, a lot of things that can become our gods. And those things could be things that just take the place of God or replace God in our lives. For example, for me, for a long time, pride was one of those things. And sometimes I still struggle with pride. And we all have pride. I guess we see it as a normal thing sometimes, you know, and we have pride. And sometimes when somebody hurts you, instead of going to God, I didn't go to God. I went to pride and I allowed pride to tell me what to do instead of allowing God to tell me what to do. And then I made pride my God. And every decision that I made, pride was in front of it. And these are the type of things that sometimes can become our gods. Now, idols are not necessarily bad things per se, like the thing itself. So you can be watching a movie, it's not necessarily an idol. But if it takes the place of God, then it can become an idol. And that's what you think of things in your life that maybe could become idols if you're not careful. You know, there's many things. I mean, even people like girlfriends, boyfriends, husbands. The moment I think that my wife can make me 100% happy and it's her responsibility before God's, then she just became my God. I think one of the biggest things or the biggest and most destructive idols that we can have is ourselves. The idol of me, it's a crazy idea, right? The idol of me. But if you think about it, oh, how I love myself. The idol of me. I mean, we can really become idols to ourselves. I think in a way, that's kind of what Jacob was doing. Yes, he believed in God, but he decided what he was going to do, what was best for him, without asking God first. That's why I love this. Like, David is just, like, not this David. Well, I love this David too, but David in the Bible. You know, when I read about him, you know, and before he does anything, I just read, David inquired of the Lord, what should I do? And then the next verse comes up, and David inquired of the Lord, and David inquired of the Lord, and David inquired of the Lord. That was his God, the one he was inquiring from. Sometimes Gilbert inquires of Gilbert, or Gilbert inquires of Cynthia. And we can become gods to ourselves. I got to hurry up. I'm in verse 2. He says, purify yourselves. This is the second thing he tells them. Purify yourselves. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I think this verse reminds us, you know, that first of the way that we allow God to cleanse us, you know, it's by confessing our sins. This means that we will search our lives, look at certain things that we might think are not sins in our lives, admit that they are sins, and say, God, forgive me for those sins. I think that this is what's happening with them. You see, the transformation that is going through them is not even coming from God. It's coming from Jacob. He's saying, we need to purify ourselves. The God that created the world, we're going to go to his house. We need to confess our sins. We need to purify ourselves. I remember the first time I became, well, not like there's a second time, but the first time, you know, when I became a believer and I accepted the Lord in my heart, and I was just so excited. I was just so intrigued and just wanted to know everything about God and who is this God that I just met. I mean, some of you guys know the story. Like, I used to be an atheist, and you know, the Holy Spirit came and he just touched my heart and he just changed my heart. And it's amazing because, I mean, he's saying purify yourselves, you know. And I think when we first fall in love with God, that's what we want to do. We just want to clean ourselves because we don't know what to do. So all you think of is like, we I just want to get clean. I want to do the things that I stop doing the things that I do. I just want to be the best I can be for God, so that I can be acceptable to Him. That's like, that was my mindset. I didn't know who God was. I didn't understand like how He thinks, and that's what I thought to myself. So I used to have this boss, you know, and this boss told me one time, this Gilbert that I see here is different than the Gilbert I usually hang out with. This Gilbert is different. I don't know this Gilbert. Let me just tell you right now, I don't like this Gilbert. I need you to give me the old Gilbert back, because if not, we're going to have a lot of problems. I was like, whoa, I think I'm going to be fired. He says, change your garments. The third thing he says to them, change your garments. Paul mentions this a couple of times in the New Testament. And he says, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And to put on a new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. What I understand is when there's a change in your heart, there's a change in your behavior. And that's why I said the story of my old boss. When I accepted the Lord in my heart, everything changed for me. I just wanted to be better. I wanted to please God. And my boss noticed it. He was also an atheist. We used to have little meetings, atheist meetings, about how atheists we were. Obviously, he would notice that this person is different. Everything changed for me. But it was amazing, because all I wanted to do was respond to God, as we know, in obedience. And I think this is what Jacob's going through. I mean, you think of the story, Jacob is going through the same thing. God didn't tell him to do this. He just wants to do it. When your heart changes, your behavior changes. And that's why I love the story that David shared. This guy, when Jesus comes and he changes your heart, your behavior will change. I changed my language, the way I spoke, the way I handled myself, my behavior. I changed the way I even did business. Everything was different. I think Jacob has realized that God has been with him all this time. And, you know, even though he's been maybe not an atheist, but he's been disobedient, he's been a con artist, and he's been struggling and to follow God and just obey Him. And he has realized this, and he just wants to respond in obedience. He says, we need to purify ourselves. We need to put away our foreign gods, and we need to change our garments. Verse 5 says, and they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were all around them. This is really interesting, because you know how Jacob was scared? It just makes me think, just like a side note, it makes me think, like, maybe he was right when he said, they're going to want to kill me. Because here it says, the terror of God was upon the cities that were all around them. So if they were thinking of attacking because of what just happened, now God is saying, hold up. This is my guy. This is my boy. I have his back. So the terror of God fell upon the cities all around them, and they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, that is Bethel, which is in the land of Canaan. He and all the people who were with him, and he built an altar, and he called the place El Bethel, I think. Because there God appeared to him when he fled from the face of his brother. The third point is, Just like Jacob, we are called to return. So after they repent, after they repent from their sins and they just put away the foreign gods, you know, now they're heading back to Bethel. Now they're in Bethel, you know, the place where God had promised them, where he had promised God to be 30 years ago. And I imagine this trip as being like a very interesting trip, you know. Think about like going back to Bethel and you're going and you're thinking, wow, the God who made the universe spoke to me and told me back to this place. He invited me back to his house. I'm going back. It's so awesome. I mean, I've been bad and he still keeps wanting me to go. And wow, it's amazing. And just thinking of the fact that you're going to God's house, this amazing God, this graceful God, probably made him really happy. On the other hand, I imagine him thinking also, you know, when he's on the road, he's like, but man, it took me 30 years to kind of do what he told me to do. I had promised him to do so many things, and yet I haven't done them yet, and now I'm barely going back. And so I wonder if he felt any type of guilt when he was, you know, walking back. And it's amazing because even if he felt any kind of guilt, this is where we see grace at full force. We know grace as Jesus, but Jesus is not here yet in his life, and that's amazing to me. Jesus is not there in that moment yet. Yet, we see grace at full force here. He had promised God, I will make you my God. I will build you a house in Bethel. And I will tithe from everything. So he did make God his God, but the other two, he didn't do. Yet even though it's the Old Testament, we don't see God like punishing him or just holding him accountable. I mean, we don't even see God holding him accountable. Grace at full force. That's just amazing to me. You know, when our relationship with God is a bit shaky and we're not feeling 100% with him, it's always real good to just look back at the time when we had a good relationship with God or back to, for me, for example, I think about the day when I accepted the Lord, and it just takes me back. It does something in my heart. Sometimes maybe it's not even going back to a certain place, you know. Maybe it's hearing a song that will take you back to remind you of your relationship with God in the beginning. You know, for me, when I can think of a good example of this is when I met my wife. Y'all know Cynthia. When I met her, I remember the first time I met her and I saw her and I saw those big bright blue eyes and just her beautiful smile and her personality. She was just glowing. And I remember how it felt when I first saw her and I was like, ooh, son. No, I didn't say that because I was an atheist. Remember that. But I remember seeing her and I remember what that did to me. It just excited my heart. It was just like, and then when I saw her look at me, she smiled at me. I was like, oh, yeah, I don't know. Like when you know, I was like, I wonder if she's going to like me. Like, oh, my God, she's so beautiful. And just excited. So I think about those things now, and it kind of like jumpstarts my love for her again. And I think in our lives, sometimes we get cold with God, and we got to think about those moments. We got to think about the moments to return to. Just like Jacob, we're called to return to those moments when we were completely and madly in love with God. Especially when we're cold. When our relationship with him has been lacking. Maybe sometimes it's just going back to certain things that you used to do, like praying. Maybe before you used to pray every morning or every night before you went to bed, and you stopped doing it. And now you feel cold. Now you feel like you're a little bit further away from God. Let me tell you, that's a real thing. My wife could tell when I don't do a devo. Like, she would be like, you didn't do your devo, huh? Because you're going crazy right now. Like, it's crazy. But maybe it's going back to doing something like that. Revelation 2, 4, and 5 says, but I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the work you did at first. Repent and do the work you did at first. It's like, in other words, it's saying, remember the things that you did at first that made you fall in love with Jesus, and go back and do them again. Verse 8 in Genesis 35 says, now Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried below Bethel under the terebinth tree. So the name of it was called Alon Bakuth, I think. Then God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Padam Aram and blessed him. And God said to him, your name is Jacob. Your name shall not be called Jacob anymore, but Israel shall be your name. So he called his name Israel. Also God said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall proceed from you, and kings shall come from your body. The land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, I give to you and to your descendants. After you, I give this land. Then God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. My fourth point is, just like Jacob, we are called to remember. Just like Jacob, we are called to remember. So here Jacob is already in Bethel. You know, he's built an altar, and God appears to him, and God blesses him, and he tells him, you're no longer going to be called Jacob. You're no longer going to be this cheater. You're no longer going to be a con artist. You're not going to be known, you know, for being a deceiver. You're not going to be known for the one who fights for himself, for the one who does things in his own strength. Now your name is going to be Israel, the one who strives with God, the one who looks for God, the one who asks God before he does anything, the one who inquires of the Lord. And from this point on, we're going to start seeing the Bible referring to him as Israel instead of Jacob. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. You're now a new person. And now you will not be known for your sin. Now you will be known for the person who has been washed with the blood of Jesus. God also reminds Jacob of the promise he made to his father and his grandfather. And he says, I will make your offspring into a great nation, and out of you will come a king who will bless all the nations of the earth. He said, I will give your people the land that I promised to Abraham and Isaac. When God seems like he's far away, he calls us to remember that he's been with us in good times, in bad times, even in times when we didn't obey him or we didn't do what he asked us to do. He reminds us that he will never leave us, that he has never left us. Isaiah 54:10 says, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken. All hell can break loose. You could be the worst person in the world. Yet my grace will always come back for you and try to get you, try to get you to come back. My fifth point is, just like Jacob, we are called to renew our commitments. Just like Jacob, we are called to renew our commitment. Verse 14 says, so Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering on it, and he poured oil on it. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spoke with him, Bethel. That's just beautiful. We see here, Jacob is basically renewing his commitment to God. He's doing the thing that he had done 30 years earlier. You know, he's setting up a pillar. He's pouring wine and oil on it. And he said, this is the house of God. This is the place where I will be. This is the place where I will live. This is the place where I will get my strength. This is exactly what God is calling us to do here and now too. He's calling us to renew our commitment to him. If we've drifted away, if we've not came back for a while, he's calling us to basically renew our vows with him. And I understand that this is not for everyone. Maybe you've been really close to God and he's been really close to you. But I also understand that that's not everybody's situation. I understand that sometimes we get mad at God or we just drift away. And he's saying we can renew vows. When a husband and a wife renew vows, it's just so amazing. You're basically saying to each other, you are as important to me now. And I love you as much now as I did in the beginning. And he's calling us to do that. The way Jacob did it here is, you know, with the oil and the wine. And obviously, we're not going to do that. We're going to recommit our lives to Christ, or we'd be drifted away. We're going to come back. We're not going to sit here and like do that same thing. But I don't know what that looks like for each and every person. What does it look like for you to recommit yourself to God or renew your vows to God or come back to God and just refresh your relationship with him? Maybe it's going home and just getting rid of some things that keep you away from God, to take your time. To take your time from God. Maybe it's as simple as just restarting your devotional life. Maybe it's just as simple as lifting up your hands and saying, God, I depend on you. I'm here. I haven't been a good person and I've made a lot of mistakes. But I understand that you are calling me back. And all you want to do is love me. Maybe it's as simple as that, just saying, God, I depend on you. I've been living a life depending on myself. And I'm weak and tired. Isaiah 40, 29, 31 says, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope on the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. We all go through hard times. And I myself had moments where I've even stopped going to church in the past. I can remember a time where I left church for 8 months. And it was a dark time for me. And one day, just going back to a service, I just remember God calling me back and saying, I'm right here. I don't know your situation. I don't know what you've gone through, the things that have been hard in your life. But I really felt like God was calling us to come back to Him. Me personally first. And I just pray that as we see the life of Jacob here and what God has been doing through his life, we can identify at least with a couple of areas and see that he's calling us too. And he just wants to love us. Jacob has been this disobedient guy, and now he's just responding in love and obedience. And we see God just loving on him. We're going to get to there now, verse 15. And the rest of it we're going to cover on the cell groups. We're going to see a new person be born. This new person that's going to be born. Yeah, you guys can come up. We're going to see a new person be born. His name is Benjamin. We're going to keep learning about him. If you guys go home, just read the rest of the chapter. Again, we're going to be going through it in the cells. And we'll just do a... So just go home and read the rest of the chapter. Just so you can know what happens to the rest of the story. I know we're out of time, but we'll just do a quick prayer. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your love, your grace, and we thank you for calling us back and just loving on us, Father, that sometimes when we drift away from you and our relationship with you gets a little cold, your grace is enough. Thank you for your love, your unconditional love, your grace, your power. We ask that you keep renewing our hearts every single day. We ask that you keep overwhelming us with it. With your amazing love. We thank you for everything that you're doing in our lives and here at Access. In Jesus' name.